Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Monday, right? It's Monday? Yes, yes, it's Monday. Who knows what fun lies ahead this week other than the NFL schedule being released on Wednesday and undoubtedly leaked prior to that. Most likely, Matt Schneidman will be tweeting out the schedule early Wednesday morning, ruining the fun usually had by Kyle Kuzno for the second year in a row. Remember the good old days? You know, how do you know you're in the good old days when you're in them? We were all in the good old days when Kyle used to be able to leak out home games throughout the afternoon as we led up to the schedule release. Those were the good old days. Those days are gone now. Schneidman's here now. As soon as he's got that schedule, it's going to be out. It's going to be out in those Twitter streets, people, which actually I do appreciate Matt doing that because God knows you can just get the schedule and then create your content around it and be on with your day rather than waiting all day. The NFL's bloated schedule release show at night. You don't need that in your life. You want to move on. You want to go on. You know, the NFL taking all the time in the world to stretch out each and every morsel of information. They've already moved the draft back a ton. Remember when we used to get the schedule before the draft? That's right, kids. That used to happen. Not anymore. Now we've got to, hey, make a primetime event out of a schedule release telling us where and when teams that we already know who they're matching up with are going to be played across the calendar late into January. I'm just over it. But I'll be here because I'm obsessed, just like you people, Packers fans worldwide. That's what we do here at Cheesehead TV, including talking about one Christian Watson. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm and my excitement at the idea of Christian Watson at all. Kevin King is in this thing as well, along with Eric Stokes. The idea that, hey, man, let's get a handle on those hamstrings. Let's let this kid get out there and get vertical again. Come on. How fun was it, that opening shot in Detroit, when you've got Watson going deep and Jordan Love, probably an extra hitch there that he didn't need, but letting it fly and Watson going up and getting it, starting the game off with a bang. That threat of Christian Watson going deep, which we saw a ton of down the stretch there that final year with Aaron Rodgers in town. Let's get back to a little bit more of that. And I know, you know, early in the season last year, didn't seem like there was much of a connection in that regard, but I got to think, another year in, get Christian Watson on the field with a little more regularity. Let's make that a potent weapon again. And not even just, you know, let's try it each and every game, etc., but just the threat of it makes defenses have to play you in an entirely different manner. Which will open up the run game, let guys get to work, Josh Jacobs, etc. Baby, like I said, I am trying desperately to temper my enthusiasm, but it's hard not to get excited by the idea of Christian Watson being on the field a whole hell of a lot more, because I've seen these Twitter, I guess, you know, content farming kind of polls about, you know, let me get some engagement by asking, who do you think the best wide receiver on the Packers is? It's obviously Christian Watson. Like, I get there's a caveat of when he's on the field. Yes, he has missed a lot of time. Yes, the injuries are disappointing and frustrating. But there is no world where he's not the best wide receiver on the Green Bay Packers when he's on the field. Jaden Reed has a chance, man. Jaden Reed is special. I don't think there's any doubt he's coming for that title. But he's only a traveler at this moment. When you talk about right now, you put him on the field, fully healthy, let him all go to work. Christian Watson is your best wide receiver. Point blank. I just need him on the field. And that's why I'm trying not to get too excited. But woo, hard not to get too excited. Let me tell you about that. Hello, everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Dennis is here. Hello, Dennis. Hope you're doing well, man. Good to see you mixing it up, as always. Robert. Thanks for starting us off with a super chat. How are you, man? Love the Bears' optimism. Like last year. Go Pack, go. Random Packer, born tradey. Didn't happen, but it'd be random. That born tradey would definitely be random. Now we've got fake, made-up random Packers. That's a whole new level. Cheesehead Joey, what's up? Hey, Aaron, this may just be me, but it feels like the hype for Josh Jacobs isn't there because of what happened with Jones. Jacobs is going to be getting awesome in this offense. Again, might just be me. I don't think it's just you. I totally agree. I understand the switch and the emotional component of it, losing Aaron Jones, right? I'm with you, though. I don't think people truly appreciate how awesome he's going to be in Green Bay. I understand he's coming off a somewhat disappointing, by his standard, season in Vegas with the Raiders. Like, no doubt about it. He was nowhere near as good in 2023 as he was in 2022. But I think it's well documented. If you actually go and watch what he had to work with blocking-wise, not to mention play-calling-wise, that's not all on Jacobs. I mean, I'm not saying he was perfect last season, but given what he had to work with, especially what was in front of him, man, you put him in LaFleur's offense, you put him in the offense we saw down the stretch last year, this guy's going to eat. And you can tell that Matt is jonesing to get him involved in the passing game in a big, big way, much more so than he was ever involved out there in Oakland / Vegas. I'm with you, man. I do think people are somewhat sleeping on how fucking awesome Jacobs is going to be in Green Bay's offense. And I don't doubt for a moment that we are going to miss Aaron Jones, not only on the field, but off of it, his presence, his just aura as a guy who absolutely carried the G. That is not to be discounted. But man, I do think Josh Jacobs is going to absolutely dominate in LaFleur's offense. No doubt about it. Just the idea that he doesn't have to come off the field. He's a three down back in the truest sense of the word. And kind of in a way, Aaron Jones never was. As much as we wanted it as fans, the Packers clearly knew they had to limit his touches, limit his usage to try and get as much out of him as possible. Could never really stay on the field for a full season now in the last 3 or 4 years, right? Man, Jacobs, he's a tank. He's a monster. And I think you're going to see a lot of him in 2024, no doubt. Elliot, thanks for the super chat, man. Hey, Nags, finally made one of these live. Random Packer, Brett Swain. Brett Swain, a true Green Bay Packer. Here we go, Ryan. What's up? Random Packer, Grady Jackson. Now that's a first and an excellent pull. Grady Jackson, one of the forgotten big men. Love it. Nick, what's up? Gotta disagree. More excited about Reed than Watson. Aha. Random Packer, John Steggers. But that wasn't the question. I don't care who you're excited about. You can be excited about anyone you want. I'm telling you, Christian Watson is the best wide receiver on the Green Bay Packers right now. That doesn't matter if you're excited, you're not excited. That's cool, man. Be excited about whoever and whatever. Christian Watson's the best. That's what I'm saying to you right now. Robert, what's up? Random Packer, Ralph Davis, 66, guard from Wisconsin. Played for Curly Lambeau in 1947 and 48. He was my neighbor's, Southwestern Michigan, grandfather. He was 5'11 and only 205 pounds. Those 205 heifers back in 47 and 48. Now that's a truly, truly random Packer. Ralph Davis carries the G, no question about it. Jeezy baby, thanks for the super chat. Packers like Kendrick, Bears, Drake, minor league. That's the best. Outstanding. Yes, the Packers are like Kendrick. They're true artists. You know, the Bears, they're just flash merchants. Ooh, they got the number one pick. You know why they got it? Because they suck. And so, yeah, they drafted a kid. Oh, that's so exciting. Here come the Packers with a devastating rejoinder as a diss track to absolutely put them in their place. I see it. I like it. She said, Joey, what's up? Do you think Josh was playing safe, playing on the tag? I doubt it, man. It's impossible to cast that kind of an aspersion to a dude out there taking NFL hits. I understand the idea of always trying to, like, get to free agency, right? I just could never. I could never go that far. An NFL player out there on the football field. I mean, look, no further than Davante Adams. Do you think Davante Adams was doing the same that final year prior to the franchise tag? I don't. I get it. I get the idea of, like, okay, maybe he wasn't taking the hardest hits possible, but, you know, how in the hell are you ever going to gauge that? Man, I don't know. I have way too much respect for the 1% of the 1% who are out there. And by the way, it's not like he got limited touches. He was still getting worked. He was still getting work, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't buy that. Anthony, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you, man. When it's all said and done, who's the better 1-2 punch, Levin's Bennett or Jacobs Lloyd? Okay, a lot of ball game left here. Oh, but could you imagine if they became Levin's Bennett? Oh, baby. I like it. I will say the upside's there. Watching Lloyd's college tape, it's hard not to get excited, but man, doesn't mean much on an NFL football field. But yeah, man, that's something to aspire to. No doubt about it. Eric, thanks for the super chat. Watson could definitely be number one. The biggest issue from the hamstring is it takes away from time he could be getting better at attacking a 50-50 ball. Random Packer Corey Hall. Yes and no, Eric. I think a lot of that's overblown on the 50-50 thing. I mean, some of the stuff that we saw last season, especially early with Christian, I don't really 100% fault him on some of those. Now, there are like the handful of plays where, yeah, you would hope you would be able to attack the football a little bit more, but I think there were a lot of them, especially when it came to Twitter, where people were like, why isn't he going after the ball? It's like, well, his inertia is literally heading the other way as he's trying to turn around and make a play on the ball. Like, I don't know. I do think, yes, you want him 100% to attack the football in the air. We saw it that first play in Detroit, right? But I do think the Twitter scouts are a little overzealous on some of that shit, you know? But hey, we know we can do it. We saw him do it repeatedly when Aaron Rodgers was throwing him the football, right? So I just think, yeah, it's no question you would like to see him attack the ball with ferocity each and every time. I do think some of it is where that ball is being placed and how it's being thrown. And that is obviously something that he and Jordan Love will be working on. No doubt about it. Robert, what's up, man? Damn it, autocorrect. I meant bomb tradey. There you go. Oh, and the Bears still suck. Of course they still suck. I mean, you don't need to send it in a super chat. Tell me the obvious, but I appreciate it. How's that? Sea biscuits and gravy. What's up? I'm excited about the whole dang team. Is that fair? That is fair. Random Packer, Bill Schrader. Oh, Billy Schrader. Billy White Boy Schrader. Sorry, I know that's not PC, but it's literally what we used to say each and every week at the bar. So I'm saying it here. Luke, how you doing, man? Hey, Aaron, what's the biggest thing you're looking forward to this upcoming season / camp? Oh, man, that's a big question. The biggest thing looking forward to. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's honestly pretty much the offense in its second year, adding Josh Jacobs into the mix. Hard not to be excited about that. I am trepidatious, cautious when it comes to the defensive side of the football, but on offense, I think you're going to see this team continue the growth, the explosion, a lot of the kind of, I don't know, the gelling, I guess you'd say, that we saw towards the end of the year, that last month or so. I'm not going to say they're going to hit the ground running and they're going to pick up right where they left off, but the potential is there for this offense to become pretty damn special, given as much experience as all these young guys got last season, the way Matt will undoubtedly be utilizing a lot more two tight end stuff, the ability of Josh Jacobs as a running back out of the backfield, both in the run game and the pass game. I don't know, man. It's hard not to be excited by that. What else we got here, folks? Mike Witt, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Random Packer, Larry Full, a.k.a. pro wrestling legend Lex Luger. And since his son is on the team now, Random Packer, Walter Stanley. Yes, Walter Stanley's kid. That's how you know you're old. When dudes you watched earlier in life now have their kids on the team. Whew, baby. Those years, they keep flying by. Joe. Thanks for the super chat, man. How does D-line going to one-gap system affect gap discipline by defenses on running plays? That's interesting, Joe. It's a very interesting question. It really depends on the call. There's no doubt, you know, it doesn't change as far as the idea of marrying what you're doing up front with your rush, marrying that to the back end with coverage, right? And sometimes there's going to be run blitzes. There are going to be these guys crashing in certain gaps from, you know, deep, either in the secondary, safeties, et cetera, or linebackers, whatever. But as far as your responsibilities, there are certain run calls where, yes, you are still asked to attack a gap, but you are doing so in service of the idea of, okay, we have a pretty good idea that they're going to run the ball here, right? Now, the kind of goal, so to speak, doesn't change. Like Halfley has said, I think in both of his pressers so far, you're going to be rushing the quarterback and stopping the run along the way. Number one thing is getting after the quarterback. You've seen some of this with the Jets and the 49ers and the Texans as well, as far as guys really just, they've got their gaps and they're sound in their ability of getting upfield. But you've also seen teams kind of start to take advantage of some of that. You definitely saw the Packers do it with a lot of the perimeter run game stuff in the playoffs last year against the 49ers. You saw the Lions kind of follow suit with some of that. And that's something that you have to guard against, you know, where guys are shooting up so quickly, trying to take control of that gap and get after the quarterback, that you can sometimes pin and pull that team to death, you know? So there's no doubt that you have to be quote unquote disciplined, but you're absolutely still playing in a league where teams are passing the ball more often than not. It is still the predominant way of moving the football, and you want to disrupt the pocket. You want to throw off the quarterback's timing, rhythm, etc. And your number one job is to do just that as a defensive lineman. No doubt about it. Soder, what's up? Thanks for being a Carry the G Club member, a Patreon member, and all-around good dude. Crazy to think that 19 of the 22 starters will be Packers draft picks. Random Packer, Vinny Clark. Soder, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think, on Happy Hour, where this, I mean, you talk about Brian Gutekunst putting his stamp on this roster. And yes, 19 out of 22, all his draft picks. That's, you know, almost Ted style right there. And you love to see it. My question, and I think I talked about this on Daily a couple days ago, is, you know, when does that turn to, okay, we've put the nucleus in place. We've got the cheap labor, so to speak, of a core group that we want to watch grow together. When do they start kind of maybe start supplementing that a little bit with veteran talent from the outside here and there? I'm not talking like big moves, but I don't think they're there yet, but I think that is probably down the line in a year or two. Right. But at the moment, yeah, this is a very, very young group that is almost all homegrown. And that's exciting from the idea of getting to watch them grow together. We certainly saw the start of that last year on offense. Hopefully we see a lot of that this year on defense as well, with all these new defensive additions, especially, you know, as young as they are. I think we're going to have to watch them take their lumps at times, but yeah, it's kind of crazy to think that this could be a nucleus that we watch grow into a championship contender, if not downright champion. I mean, Ron Wolf had his, you know, one or two drafts that did that. Ted Thompson had certainly his two drafts that did that. Hopefully these last two plus this year, you know, these last kind of three collections from Brian Gutekunst form the nucleus that we watch win another championship or two or 12. I'm down for 12. Joey, what's up? Thanks, man. Before we leave today's chat, we have to remind each other that we need to get after the QB. Love that from Halfley. Go Pack, go. Yes, indicating that's the last thing he imparts to his young charges prior to leaving the defensive line room. I absolutely love it. Carl, thanks for the super chat, man. Random Packer, Bruce Wilkerson. Oh, what a heady era that was. It was a couple months. Mike, thanks for the super chat. Big Lebowski watch before camp starts, Nags. I'm going to try, Mike. I keep saying every offseason I'm going to do it, and it never materializes. It's just a scheduling issue, but yeah, I hope so. Let's do it. Pester me about it this summer after I get back. By the way, I'm going on another trip. I know I just went to New Orleans, but next Wednesday, I'm going to be gone for a good long while. Next Wednesday, the 22nd, I believe it is, I am gone to Europe with my dad. My dad, who is 83 years old, he wanted to take a trip this summer. And he determined that this is the best time to do it. So I'm going to be gone from, I think it's May 22nd through June 4th. So there's going to be a long swath where you're not going to have any Packers daily, no daily chats. So when I get back, I'll be there for the week where the Packers have their mandatory mini camp. I'll be back for that. And then after that, hopefully in that time frame, like mid-June through mid-July, somewhere in that month, we're going to have the Big Lebowski watch party. Let's do it. Hold me to it. It's going to happen. Ryan, what's up? Watching the wild card game where Hasselbeck guaranteed an OT winning touchdown. I was just watching that before I went live. It was on NFL Network. Do you think he regrets saying that? It's a fun game to watch. I don't know. I mean, he seems to play it off pretty well in public. I know he gets tagged almost every time that game is being shown anywhere on earth, on social media. So I'm sure that's a bit annoying, but yeah, I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know if he's ever addressed it. I mean, other than to say like, yeah, I said it, he is owned up to it, you know, but I can't imagine it feels great anytime that comes on a television, wherever he might be and everyone talks about it. It's a good game though, man. I just watched a little bit, like I said, before we went live, and it's so great. What was so weird about watching that broadcast was I had totally forgotten that Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Chris Collinsworth were in a booth together. Totally forgot about that. Like, I heard Collinsworth, and I was like, oh, this is weird. And then Troy and Joe started chiming in, and I'm like, I totally forgot they were all in a booth together. That's nuts. Dominic, what's up? Hi from the UK. Thanks for being awesome. Go Pack Go. Dominic, that's incredibly kind of you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Mike, again, what's up? Oh, no, the best random Packers, Mossy, Cade, and Charles Martin. Mike, why? Why you got to go there? Why you got to go there? No need for it. I want winners. That's so depressing. Man, let me tell you, that was a depressing fucking time to be a Packers fan. You talk about embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. Both of those gentlemen wearing the green and gold. Not a great time. Ryan, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Who will have the biggest sophomore jump? Wicks or LVN? Random Packer Mark Conacher. That's a good question. And I'm glad you didn't say like sophomore slump. Because we know there's some people who thrive on the negative. And I'm glad to hear you say the jump. Who will have the biggest jump? I'm going to say LVN simply because he'll have more opportunities. And I don't think that means, you know, don't think for a second that I don't think Wicks is going to take advantage of what's on offer. But I think there are a lot of mouths to feed and only one football. Whereas Lucas Van Ness, new system, being asked to do some different things, definitely ready to hit that upside. Whole reason he got drafted 13th overall. Yeah, I think he's going to be out there a lot right from the jump. And he's going to take advantage of those opportunities. So that would be my guess. Abdul, thanks for the super chat, man. Hey, Aaron, I know we say OTAs are underwear Olympics and everyone looks good. Have you ever seen someone in training camp and thought he was awful? Speaking of someone always thriving on the negative, Abdul. Seen someone in training camp and thought he was awful. I'm trying to remember. I mean, maybe when I was a kid. You know, but it's so difficult now because like there's so many caveats in place. Like, you know, they're not going full speed, even when they're doing some of the blocking and tackling stuff, they're never tackling. Right. And the blocking is at 3/4 speed. It's thud most of the time. So it's hard to get a gauge on, oh, this guy, quote unquote, looks awful. You know, maybe there's been like a corner getting repeatedly beat in drill work and or some of the scrimmage stuff where I've thought, ooh, this doesn't look great. But I don't know. It's really hard to say, oh God, this guy looks awful. I think they're like more often than not, you'll see guys in some of the one-on-one drill stuff get beat repeatedly, and that will color your perception. But that's not real football. That's just one-on-one stuff, you know, especially a lot of the, what really gets me, kind of grinds my gears, as some like to say, is, you know, when a guy does get beat in a pass protection drill, like an offensive lineman, right? Or flip it around in the secondary and those one-on-ones, people love it and they get video from the stands and it gets all over social media. But it's like, okay, but if this was a call, the guy would know if he was a defensive player, if he's in the secondary, right? Well, okay, what's his leverage? What's the down and distance? Where's his help? There's none of that in a one-on-one. It's just go and try and guard him with all the world open to him as a route runner, right? You flip it around and it's like the offensive player, right? Like, yes, they'll have them. Okay, you're on the interior or you're playing tackle, but still, you're still kind of not setting your protection. You're not sliding. You're not trying to okay, we're running a play this way. We know we can flush him out wide to the left and we'll be fine because the quarterback's rolling to the right. All these kind of intricacies that happen down by down, play by play, that just aren't in play when you're doing a one-on-one drill, right? So I don't know. It's, again, when I was a kid, I probably was out there going, you know, who? I'm trying to think of, the problem is the guys usually end up getting cut and I'm not really going to remember them too much. But yeah, I was probably in training camp when I was a younger man thinking, oh, he looks terrible, etc. But as I've grown up and watched a lot of ball and seen these guys down in and down out, again, what I was talking about before, the 1% of the 1%, man, they're all amazing. You know, there's some that are obviously more consistent than others, but it's hard for me to say I've watched a guy and thought, oh, this NFL player looks terrible. Like, it's just, you know, they may, again, may not be as consistent as some of the other guys, but they're too good at that level to be awful. Abdul, thanks again, man. Everyone says that King fell off after a great year in 2023, but no one says why. Was it injuries, offenses adjusted to how he plays, or something else? I think partly it was something somewhat what he was being asked to do. I think there's something to be said for kind of a switch in mentality in the secondary, but I do think injuries also played into it. I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, you look at kind of those first four or five games prior to his getting hurt. I think when he got hurt week 9, they're playing a lot of off coverage and guys are getting free releases. And I think there was a stretch there where he gave up a deep over route almost every week for a month, you know, and that's just seeing tendencies, stuff you've seen kind of him do and not do and react to. And okay, how can we take advantage of that? But I think some of that also is Joe Barry just, for whatever reason, playing as cautiously as he did, and teams taking advantage of both of those things. So, look, that's the second year. Third year, it's impossible to say anything remotely intelligent about his game when he missed so much time because of the injuries, and he then got back on the field for, what, 4 special team snaps and then got hurt again. And then he comes back and looks, I mean, let's say it, downright bad against the Panthers. Like, yeah, obviously that's a lot of time off and he's dealing with coming back from injuries, multiple injuries. So it's hard for me to glean anything from his third year. The second year prior to the big injuries in Detroit, I think it's a combination of teams having a bunch of film on him and, you know, Joe Barry not putting him in the greatest positions. That's my guesswork here. Matt, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate you, man. Always appreciate it. No question about it. What else we got here, folks? What else we got? We got all those. Got all that. Got Soder. Let's hit some Facebook comments, shall we? or Twitch for that matter. 4 Miles says, replace Myers. See, I love Twitch. Twitch just gets to the point, man. They don't mess around. They ain't posting a bunch of, you know, putting out a soliloquy. They're just going to replace Myers. That's great. Look at that. We'll put it on the screen. Look at this. Replace Myers. I hear you, man. I hear you. I do think he was playing at a pretty damn high level the last month or so of the season. And I understand the Packers sticking with him. He's a guy who's played a lot of ball for them. He's in the final year of his deal, which means he's cheap labor. And do not discount the fact that Jordan Love seems to have a connection with him and really appreciate him. And I think they're going to get through this year. Myers will probably, hopefully, continue to play at the level he played at down the stretch. Yes, you can point to a handful of bad plays, no doubt about it. But overall, his consistency got better. His overall level of play improved through, I'd say, December and January. And that's what they're hoping they get throughout 2024. After that, I think there's a decent chance that Monk takes over. I think that's probably the plan, pipeline-wise, but you know, a lot can change, obviously. Hell, injuries sometimes sort these things out themselves. So I understand the desire to move on from Myers, but I also understand why the Packers are undoubtedly sticking with him for 2024. So again, just guesswork for me. Abdul, thanks again, man. Nags meant King, not Stokes. Well, that's kind of tough then, man. King, look, I liked Kevin King. he was put in an awkward position as far as public perception because of the TJ Watt thing. I liked his physicality at the line of scrimmage. I do think sometimes he got caught trying to do too much. Sometimes got turned around in coverage at times. But I do think, you know, it's going to be fascinating to watch him down in Atlanta as far as, you know, the time away from the game is clearly going to be somewhat of a, you know, maybe factor, especially early. But I think if he's allowed to play with his arms at the line of scrimmage, really jam in on guys and turn and run with them, use those hips, he's got a chance. Got a chance to stick. Abdul. Kalen King. Ha, ha, ha. Man, Kalen King? You talking about Kalen King? No, I'm just kidding. What do you mean they don't say why? I think that's been pretty extensively covered. That's why I'm so confused, obviously. I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, the tape is somewhat similar as far as his physicality at the line of scrimmage and his ability to turn and run. Those are the things you like about him. Certainly, teams were a little bit more successful as far as going after him. And I don't doubt for a moment that he's going to be given every opportunity to utilize the physicality that you've seen on his college tape. But it also points out to what a razor-thin margin these things can be. I mean, the fact that he was being considered as a first-round pick a year before and have almost fallen out of the draft the prior kind of season tells you all you need to know about, A, the draft industrial complex, but B, how thin the margins are when it comes to evaluating talent. Because he's very much the same player, you know? And, hell, the Packers could have got the steal of the draft right there. But it is about consistency. He wasn't as consistent last year as he had been the previous season. And that's what it's about. You got to find it. That's what Mike McCarthy used to talk about. You know, they're all good players. You know, and the great players are the ones that help make everyone around them better consistently. And he's got a long way to go before he even scratches that kind of, you know, attention, much less kind of attribution. But it is about finding consistency. And some of that is going to be coaching. Some of that is going to be scheme. But most of it is on the player. And hopefully he's in a situation that allows him to thrive and allows him to discover whatever it is as far as his physical traits and his abilities and his upside, which is huge, and be able to do things down in and down out on a consistent basis in a way that, yeah, obviously escaped him a little bit last year. But make no mistake, he's got all the ability to do it. There's no doubt that he is able to do it. It's just a question of doing it on a consistent basis. That's it. Oh my gosh, people are talking about Bally Sports here in the chat. That means it's time to go. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.